Hello, and thank you for joining us on the Stay Healthy Knoxville podcast, brought to you by Simply Physio, aimed at helping you live an enjoyable, fit, and healthy life in and around our community of Knoxville, Tennessee. And now, here is your host, Dr. John Mark Chesney.
Welcome to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast. My name is Dr. Jennifer Penrose, and today I'm going to be talking about living young, secrets to anti-aging and living active on your terms into your 80s. That is the title of my next book coming out that I'm in the midst of working on, but I thought I would go ahead and have a podcast a little bit about living young and some myths about aging. So let's dive in. So let's talk a little bit about some false beliefs about aging. Probably number one on the list that I hear a lot is that arthritis comes with aging. So that is just not true. So let's talk about that. Once you hit your 40s, I would say you find the word arthritis to be a dirty word and you hope it stays clear of you. However, at the same time, you start to realize that aging is happening and you can definitely feel some of the effects at that point. You start to understand why there are very few professional athletes still playing their sport professionally into their 40s and why Olympic athletes are so young. However, aging does not cause arthritis. It's one of the largest myths out there about aging. Most people believe that arthritis is an old person's disease and that it's entirely just a consequence of aging. Like, it's just a matter of course it's going to happen. If that were the case, then it would be inevitable, and I'm here to tell you that it's not. So, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, arthritis is more common among adults aged 65 years or older. But people of all ages, including children, can be affected. Nearly two-thirds of people with arthritis are actually younger than 65. So that's, I think, somewhat surprising for people. It's more common among women, 26%, than men, 19% in every age group, and it affects members of all racial and ethnic groups. This is a good one to take home. Arthritis is also more common among adults who are obese than among those who are normal weight or underweight. So, and my heart really goes out to those that are struggling with weight. We have a weight loss wellness course that we offer and coaching for that. And many times people are coming in with knee pain, back pain, fill in the blank, and they can't move around as much. They can't exercise as much. And so they start putting on even more weight, which is then more troublesome for their joints. So it can be a vicious cycle, which is why I dove more into the study of nutrition and weight loss and wellness and offer a coaching and a course for that now, if that interests you. So most people with arthritis are under 65. And I think while the risk of developing most types of arthritis increases with age, keep in mind that's not the only contributing factor, age. So something to kind of just bring up a little bit is that even though aging does affect the musculoskeletal system, our bones are constantly undergoing a process of absorption and bone formation, kind of known as remodeling. And as we age, that balance of the absorption and formation changes. So we do end up with some bone loss if we're not careful with the nutrient and vitamin deficiency that can happen. So we do want to be kind of careful with kind of being aware of our nutrient and vitamin intake. Our bones can become less dense and more fragile. So I'm sure you've heard of osteopenia, osteoporosis, if we're not taking enough calcium, a variety of forms. I won't get into that right now. Vitamin D3, vitamin K2, magnesium, boron, potassium. And then we need to exercise, especially high enough intensity to stimulate bone density. So the composition and properties of our cartilage change as well as we age. So there is less water content in our cartilage as we age. And so it reduces the ability to cushion and absorb shock, especially for impact activities. So hydration is very crucial to so many things. So cartilage kind of goes through this process and it can degenerate, which is where arthritis can develop. Ligaments and connective tissue become less elastic and flexible with age. And so that's why every passing like 10 years or so, you actually feel stiffer. So those changes are naturally occurring in our system. So there are age effects that you really do feel. However, a lot of the arthritis changes, those are actually due more to inactivity than age. So according to OrthoInfo, a publication of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, the changes that occur in the muscle skeletal system are due more to disuse than to aging. So the cartilage thinning, the kind of wear and tear of cartilage and joints, it's interesting that it's more related to being more sedentary. So fewer than 10% of Americans exercise on a regular basis, and people over the age of 50 are the most sedentary group, according to the research. So that's something to just kind of keep in mind. I know many people that I treat with since COVID, there's a lot more working from home and continuing to work a little bit from home and occasionally into the office for some job types. And a lot of those people are just walking less. So they're not having to go park their car, walk down the hallway, go meet a colleague. Meetings are done via Zoom. So there's a lot more sitting and less walking going on in a lot of adults' lives that are still in the workforce. So it is something to be aware of. And there are so many apps now and devices to wear, you know, Fitbits, or if you have an Apple Watch or some kind of smart watch, it tracks your walking. And I think that's a great thing to really give you accurate information, because sometimes you think you're busy, but you're not really moving around enough. So that's really the take-home message on arthritis. Our joints were made to move. Our muscles were made to move. If you think back to the days of when we were hunters and gatherers, we just moved a lot more. Now we do a lot of sitting. Our cultures, we drive everywhere in the United States. We don't have to walk much. We're not forced to walk much. We don't have very good walkable communities a lot of times. It's not always practical. So just think about all the sitting, and that really does contribute to more of the arthritic changes in our joints versus the aging. So that's kind of my main point there. Penrose Physical Therapy, we do have, you know, besides physical therapy, if you have actual pain and limitations, the normal course is to start with physical therapy. And then as you get better and you know things that some exercise and things to do to even progress you further, we do have group training classes. So a strength training, we just call it power because it's full body strengthening. And then our yoga for osteoarthritis and osteoporosis class. And those have just been lifesavers for people. It allows you to continue to progress and be accountable and see yourself make progress with the things you love to do. We had someone come for physical therapy and knew that at discharge, she needed to do something more to keep making more advanced goals. Her insurance wasn't going to pay for some of her more active goals. Like, insurance doesn't really care if you can garden or kayak or travel. Really, medical necessity is about just kind of getting around in your home and getting dressed and being able to make a meal. So she wanted to invest in more so that she could get back to a higher level function of gardening, kayaking, and other things. And guess what? She's doing great with the power class and able to do more. And we may try to get her interviewed on a future podcast. But it is great to have those options. So if you would like to attend one of those group trainings for free for the first time, just reach out to us and mention that you heard about it on the podcast and we'll let you try that out. But it is a great way for our people who have osteoporosis or arthritis or just general concerns about getting hurt in a gym setting to come to more of a medically supervised fitness facility where we do definitely take modifications into effect for designing successful programs for people. So definitely, if you aren't exercising, hopefully you're seeing there's a lot of reasons to exercise. Stretching and range of motion helps preserve the flexibility and provide nutrition to the joint surfaces. I don't know if you've ever heard motion is lotion. Definitely feel a difference. Our people who have joint challenges definitely can tell when they skip a yoga class. They know they need it. Weight training, strength training, which is also recommended a couple times a week. You can increase muscle mass, which the more muscle mass you have, the higher your metabolism is. So it's good for in terms of metabolism and like weight loss, and then building strength and keeping your bones strong. So it really is one of those things that I hope you can get in your mind, that exercise is kind of the secret to anti-aging and some of the effects that happen, and that being sedentary is really kind of your biggest enemy. We often in the healthcare world say sitting is the new smoking. If you haven't heard that phrase, that should speak volumes to you, right? But basically, view exercise as essential and not optional if you really want to live an active retirement and active life on your terms and have as much independence as possible. There's another myth out there, very similar to arthritis. Degenerative joint disease comes with age. It's something that scares people, right? Because disease makes it sound scary. I often tell people, like, when you look in your mirror, you know that your face is aging. You can see the wrinkles, but we don't say you have degenerative face disease. So again, the degenerative changes often come to disuse or the sedentary lifestyle. And it's something you can learn to manage and what exercises work for you. And I think physical therapy can be very helpful when you do get that diagnosis, if you get that diagnosis. Because it hurts to exercise, it hurts to move. So people often think like, well, I'm not going to go to physical therapy because I think I'm just going to hurt myself more. Our job is to help you find successful exercises and successful ways of getting stronger and staying mobile as much as the body part will allow and tolerate. And so that's where we kind of partner with you to figure out what works and what doesn't. And our training with biomechanics and physics and the anatomy, we can help problem solve things with you so that you can have a successful exercise routine and get back to the things you love without increasing symptoms, without increasing your pain. Yeah, it can be uncomfortable at first. There is some ache that sometimes you have to work through, but it shouldn't be the same as like joint pain. I can't tell you how many times people have said that after getting moving with therapy that they wish they would have started sooner. I mean, that is a common statement. So I just think the label of arthritis and the label of degenerative joint disease and the fear of making it worse, it paralyzes people and they start to do less and they become more sedentary. So then their arthritis gets worse and they put on more weight, and it's kind of a vicious cycle. And we know that this sitting can cause, besides arthritis, systemic inflammation can rise, which is linked to heart disease, Alzheimer's, and more. So there's definitely, I think at this point, people have probably heard about systemic inflammation and how that can lead to more health problems. I think right now is a good time to tell you a little bit about a story of a patient. She, we'll just call her Sue, and she was in her 50s. She came to us with knee pain and osteoarthritis. She really wanted to avoid surgery, and she really was pretty unsure if we could help. And that's a common thing sometimes that we get. People often are like, I'm not really sure that you can do anything for me, but I'm here. She was very fearful of causing the knee pain to increase with therapy, which is also very common. But to her surprise, after we worked on the muscles around her knee, you know, like massage, like hands-on, mobilized the knee joint to get it moving better since it was so stiff, the stress around her knee was less. So when you have less strain and pressure around a joint, you can move better with less pain. So then she could actually tolerate the strengthening exercises better. She learned how to garden correctly and squat with less load. So we teach people how to get up and down out of a chair and how to do stairs, activating the right muscles at the right time with the right amount of load so we don't irritate the knee joint. So there's a way to do that, to help that and make it happen where it's not as irritating to the knee. So she learned how to garden and squat again. And she learned to increase her walking program gradually without increasing her knee pain. So all of this helped her confidence to travel and to keep up with her friends and her grandchildren, as well as decrease her knee pain. So now she knows what to do to keep the strength and mobility in her knee without surgery, without pain medication, and she knows how to continue onward. And I think that's just a nice picture of what physical therapy can do to get you on the right track. And then for continued accountability and just keeping your life as active as possible, doing some of the group training would be the next step after therapy. Another myth I like to talk about is you should slow down when you get older. I'm not sure why with aging, people think that they should slow down. When I hear that, I think, no, don't go sit more. Don't become more sedentary. We do enough sitting in this culture. We drive, we sit at meals, we sit for a lot of our jobs, we sit to read, we sit to watch TV or on our devices or to play cards or games or watch entertainment. So there's, I don't know, I just see so much sitting. Maybe I have a biased view here. But again, if you're not getting in that 10,000 steps a day, you know, not all at once, it can be spread out. You need to find ways to get more active. Or if you really have too much knee pain to do that many steps, then being able to figure out, can you add an aquatic therapy program? Can you add cycling? What else can you do to increase your activity? So really, you know, if people look into the research, walking is like the number one thing to living healthier and longer. I'll repeat that. Walking is the number one thing you can do to live healthier and longer. So going on a brisk walk, it's good for the brain, the heart, the joints, the bones, the muscles. The less you do, the weaker you become. And I'm sure you've noticed if you had an illness or a surgery that took you out of your routine of exercise and moving around, how challenging it was to come back to your prior level of strength. So I think almost every human being can relate to that if they were down for something that when they came back out of it, it was definitely more challenging. So I don't think there's a problem. Someone says slow down. I don't want to mistake that for pacing yourself when you're doing activities. Like, that's smart to reduce the chance of injury. So for example, gardening, which we get a lot of people who really like gardening. Gardening is a great exercise. However, you just have to be smart about how much you do at one time and avoid the same activity or movement patterns for the entire day. In Washington, I think when the weather gets nice, the thought is like, okay, I better get it all done today because tomorrow it might rain. So we do have that kind of working against us a little bit, but be careful. Change up the muscles and the movement patterns you're doing in a day. Hydrate often. Take the time to warm up and stretch. For most of us, gardening activities like digging, moving dirt and bark, reaching up with extended arms, it's not something we do every day. So if you think about it this way, you wouldn't go to the gym and bench press 200 pounds without training up to it over several weeks. So why would you go and dig and move several loads, pounds of dirt and reach all day and move and bend and when you really haven't been working up to that? And that's where the classes or working with our personal trainer, having fitness routines changed up every month to go through different kinds of movement patterns, different kinds of squats, different kinds of leg strength, arm movements, posture, strengthening arms, core, legs. That way, when you go do gardening, you have been training for multi-body movement types of things, you're going to be less likely to hurt yourself. So you have to think of exercise as a way to keep doing life without getting hurt and in pain. Keeps you going, keeps your independence and your mobility. If you want to live independently when it's a physical ailment, I understand that there's sometimes where we can't control the cards that we get dealt in life, right? So if it's a cognitive thing and decline and you can't live safely alone anymore on your own, that's different, or some kind of diagnosis where, you know, it's kind of a little bit out of your control. But in terms of, you know, general like strengthening and movement, if it's more physical ailments, those things, if you can keep at it with a regular routine, you're going to do better for longer. That's what the research shows. I see it in my clinic, and those who are committed to that really do better longer. I would say be nice and gentle to yourself. If you had time off from an activity for various reasons, then give yourself ample time to get back to the level of stamina and performance and strength that you once had. It's a better mindset too. You don't get as depressed or frustrated and give up. Okay. So having breaks and pacing is not the same as slowing down. It's basically just being smart and being realistic with where you're at and what you can handle right now, and that you can get back to where you want to be. Or maybe you do have a joint that needs extra attention or that's been replaced and just can't handle the stamina and the whole day of gardening that you once were able to do. So maybe you do have to alter that, but at least you're doing the activity, and at least you're not getting inflamed and causing yourself to miss out on 2 weeks of life because you overdid it one day or one weekend, okay? So if you think you're suffering from not keeping up with your peers, just, you know, take some action to work towards those goals that you have. So whether that be PT, and find a way to partner with health providers, fitness individuals, so you can ensure success and not get frustrated. Just smart. Start small and work up to the next goal. So, and then you can celebrate your progress little by little and build on itself. You have to start somewhere, right? Baby steps. All right, we're going to take a little break to hear from our sponsor.
As a listener to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, this month we're offering a free yoga session or power group training. Limit one per person. To sign up, contact us at info@penrosept.com or call us directly at 360-456-1444. That's 360-456-1444. And now, back to the episode.
Okay, we're back talking about more myths in aging. There's nothing you can do about senior moments and brain fog. Those things can occur in younger people too. The neuroscience arena, they're finding that the first signs of Alzheimer's can show up 10 to 15 years ahead of the actual diagnosis. So in your 40s and 50s, if you start to notice some memory problems or lapses, you want to take some action. Our brain needs cognitive stimuli like mathematics, puzzles, and physical stimuli, exercise, right? And if you combine the two at the same time, it's called dual tasking. You're working the brain in such a way that stimulates the area of the brain that often is reported to decline with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And if you're unsure how to do this, a physical therapist can help you get on the right program. You can look up dual tasking exercises, and that might give you a little idea of what I'm talking about. But basically, according to Harvard Public School of Health, exercise 30 minutes a day is still the most important thing to prevent Alzheimer's. I'll say that again. Exercise 30 minutes a day is still the most important thing to prevent Alzheimer's, according to the Harvard Public School of Health. So again, I'm just trying to push that exercise should be viewed as essential and not optional, and your brain health depends on it too. So something else to kind of dive into with brain health. Brain health depends on our gut health, and this has become a little more well-known in the arena, but maybe you haven't heard that. Did you know that our gut is basically called our second brain? Half of our neurotransmitters are in our gut. Tryptophan, dopamine. That's why our gut is called our second brain, which was pretty fascinating when I first started diving into nutrition and health in that department. And I know no one really likes to be told that what we eat truly determines our health, but it's kind of true. According to the research, the richer and more diverse the community of gut microbes are, the lower your risk of disease and allergies and systemic inflammation. So this has been shown in animal tests, also in human studies, comparing the microbes of people with and without particular diseases. So if you want to lower your risk for arthritis, like, can I get an amen there? Then take care of your gut, your microbiome and your gut. Eat more fiber, vegetables, fermented foods, and consider a high quality probiotic. I do, just as on my website, if you go to penrosept.com, you will see that I do have store. I'm linked with a supplement company called Nutrimetrics. So you can find it on there, or you can just go to drpenrosewellness.com, and that'll come up there as well. So basically, they have a pretty high quality probiotic. You just want to make sure whatever you're taking has a stable shelf life, that it will stand up to the harsh stomach environment, right? And you want a lot of different strains of lactobacilli, bifobacterium. So you can look into the one I have if you want to, but really, it's not a bad idea to take one. And this kind of gets to the American diet, which is very poor in general. Basically, the CDC stated in 2017 that only 1 out of 10 American adults gets enough fruits and vegetables a day. And with the coaching I've done with the weight loss and wellness program, which is an anti-inflammatory way of eating as well, that kind of confirms it. People really struggle with getting all the veggies in a day. It's a fair amount of work to do what is best for us. So it is one thing to kind of evaluate your diet, what you're eating. And the American Medical Association found that adults are not getting enough vitamin A, C, and E, and stated it appears prudent for all Americans to take a vitamin and mineral supplement. So that's pretty telling. There was a survey of 16,000 people by the U.S. Department of Agriculture over a 2-year period. So this is a long-term study, which is good, and lots of people. And zero got 100% of all required vitamins and nutrients. So just be aware, that is something to consider. I think most of my older clients know about B12 deficiency, but you are at 6 times the increase for brain volume loss if you are in the bottom third for B12 levels. So that is definitely a well-documented. So you definitely want to stay on top of your B12. So something to look into if you're not sure. I don't know that I'm going to go into more details on that. My book in the future definitely will. The Harvard School of Public Health does recommend that people take a multivitamin daily. It's just an inexpensive nutrition insurance policy. And my only comment to that, just make sure you take a quality one. A lot of the solid tablets out there are filled with binders and fillers and they're not really absorbed very well. Which is why you hear some of the stuff in the media about, you know, vitamins, people just pee them out. They don't actually, you know, utilize them. Well, that can be true depending on what kind you're taking. Again, I take one from Nutrimetrics, which is third-party tested, and they've done a fair amount of research on the bioavailability of the nutrients in the daily essentials, the vitamins that they sell. It's a powder, and you add water to it, and you drink it on an empty stomach, and pretty much 7% of it is absorbed within 20 minutes. So I feel really good about taking that one. I also don't, some vitamins in the past would kind of make me not feel good. This one doesn't seem to have that problem because it's already kind of broken down, right? Like it's not something that my body has to work that hard at digesting, like the tablets. So it's basically kind of like a liquid IV of nutrition. That's why it's called an isotonic. You can read more about that if you want to on their website. So again, there's just go to Dr. PenroseWellness.com or on my PenrosePT.com website, you can find the Nutrimetrics link there as well. And you can type in vitamins in the search bar and it'll give you more information. So that's what I take and that's what I have in my clinic. It's, I think, definitely when you really look at your servings of vegetables every day, I have a hard time getting 10 to 12 servings of veggies every day. So I just kind of use it as an insurance policy. My grandmother had osteoporosis and I don't want to have anything to do with that. Soft bone, I see enough fractures in my clinic. It really disabled her. Like she was a very active tennis player and then she couldn't play anymore later on due to osteoporosis. So that was sort of sad to watch. And so I'm very good about making sure I have a good vitamin D supplement on board and my calcium and eating as much as I can, green leafy vegetables and veggies. So really trying to stay ahead of that. So genetically, if I have a predisposition to that, then I'm just doing everything in my power that I know how to do, plus all my exercising and weight bearing and resistant training, because you need, you know, to do resistance training and weight bearing to get bone density. So that's kind of where I've landed with that. So that's kind of where the neuroscience has landed, that the brain really does need a good diet, exercise, cognitive tasks to keep our brain working together. So ask yourself, you know, how much exercise a day are you really getting? Are you getting that 10 to 12 servings of veggies a day? Are you exercising 30 minutes a day? Just kind of take an inventory. And we're certainly here to help you. And like I said, I will have that weight loss wellness course. It'll be an online course, actually, that you can go through on your own. But definitely you'll have some one-on-one coaching appointments with my fitness trainer. We'll be looking at your food logs and giving you daily feedback. It's a very much a hands-on course. So it's not like you're just left to sign up on the course and just go do it yourself and not have any coach. You need coaching through something like that and encouragement. So I'm working on getting that released hopefully in the next 2 months. So if that is something that intrigues you in terms of weight loss and like an anti-inflammatory way of eating, then reach out to us. We're happy to help. So we care about your overall health here. And I hope that was helpful to go over some myths there. The other one that I want to finish with is about osteoporosis. And I kind of touched on that, and my passion for that stems from my grandmother having it. It's not a normal part of aging, right? Like, I think some people just think like, oh, when you get older, your bones just get softer. That's just the way it is. No, it means that your body is losing bone density faster than it should. And you need to find out why. Is it hormonal? Is it from a side effect of a medication? Is it the lack of ability to absorb vitamin D and other vital nutrients, minerals? What is the true cause of this problem for you? So you really need to be able to take a pretty good dive on that. And I would say early on, it doesn't hurt to ask your provider, whoever your primary care provider is, whether that's an internal med doctor or a family practice doctor, or your OBGYN for women, asking for blood work and asking them, I want to know what my vitamin D level is. Now, here's the response sometimes that you're going to get, which I got as well. Well, your insurance may not pay for that. I'm like, I don't care. I'll pay for that because I want to know if there's anything I need to do, because I don't want to learn 30 years down the road that I was on the low range of what's normal for vitamin D levels. I want to be in the high range. Thank you. And so sure enough, I asked for that test. That was the answer I got. And I said, that's nice. I'll pay for it if my insurance doesn't cover it. I value my health more than whether or not insurance pays for this. So got the information. And what I found is I was on the very low end of the range. So kind of in their opinion, like, it's on the low end, but it's still within the range. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not messing with this. So I went ahead and did more research, and I'm taking 5,000 I use a day. It's kind of like units. You can take up to 10,000 a day, and I don't need to go that extreme. Vitamin D functions more like a hormone, believe it or not. So that's where I landed with that. And again, I take it through the Nutrimetrics company because it's a powder with water and I know it'll be absorbed. So doing much better. Now my levels, I had them checked again after being on it for a year. And now I'm up just a little bit above the mid range. So that tells me I'm not taking too much and I'm going to stay at that because it's working. So just make sure you work with a team of providers that are willing to help you find out the why so that your plan actually works versus just jumping on prescription medications. Sometimes you got to go a different route. You know, sometimes you need to reach out to a naturopath. And yes, I understand they don't always take insurance, but this is your health. This is your life. I mean, you have to kind of sometimes to decide what's important to you and how you want to function 30 years down the road, right? Because sometimes you can't make up for that. Like some of the decisions you make in your 30s and 40s will affect you when you're in your 60s and 70s. And so doing that earlier to make those decisions, so then you're not like, oh, I'm already too late, right? So I encourage you to, even though life is busy, to take the time to get blood work to really find out what your risks are for things, even if you have to pay a little bit to find out the information. Over half of the U.S. adults age 50 and older have soft bone. So millions of Americans are at risk for a fracture if they fall from a standing height due to soft bone. And it's not normal, actually, to fracture from a fall at a standing height or less. So something to be aware of. So osteoporosis just means porous bone. It's kind of soft like butter. So when I've talked to orthopedic surgeons that have had to do surgery on someone after a fall, like my grandmother, for instance, fell and kind of shattered her elbow, and they needed to kind of put that back together. It was a bunch of pieces. And the surgeon basically said, like, you know, I did the best I could, but it was like trying to put hardware in butter. So you can think of your stick of butter on the counter, if that's what you still have. I don't know. I don't really use that very much anymore, but I can picture it. And you like try to put, like drill a screw into a stick of butter that's at room temperature, right? Doesn't really give you a lot of confidence that that screw is going to stay there. So she had a lot of pain because she had some hardware in her spine and her elbow. And I honestly think that that hardware was moving around when it shouldn't be and creating a lot of the pain that she was living with until she passed away. And so it was hard because I think had she not had soft bone, she would have lived life with, you know, more fun, obviously less pain. So it's something I'm very passionate about because I got to watch her, in a sense, not be able to do the things she loved as much and that she did deal with some chronic pain. So I am on a mission for osteoporosis. And that is why I really wanted to offer yoga for osteoporosis and arthritis, and our strength training class designed for 55 and up is my love for that particular group of people. And the yoga for osteoporosis, there's some long-term studies done by Dr. Fishman and his yoga poses. So they are altered. They need to be. If some of you are thinking, I don't think yoga is safe for osteoporosis, there are definitely some poses that are not, and we would alter those and modify them. But they show to be very, very successful with bone density. And you might be thinking, like, I don't understand that. I thought we needed, you know, more weight bearing, jumping, and land, you know, more impact, more strength, more weights. If you start to understand that bone is stimulated based on stress loaded on it, so kind of think of the muscles attaching on a bone, right? And so when the muscle is contracting, being used, it pulls on the bone and that stimulates the bone density. So in yoga, in a pose, you might be pulling one arm one direction and the other arm the other direction, or your leg one way and the other leg a different direction. And it's pulling, those muscles are on stretch and you're holding that pose and you're breathing. And it's the pulling of those muscles. You almost visualize the muscles pulling on the bone, and that, and holding that position for the time required of you, it stimulates bone density. So it's a gentle way of stimulating bone density. It still work. Believe me, I've done the classes and I was surprised at, like, oh, this is a different kind of soreness, but it is wonderful. And that people who really have severe arthritis really like the yoga class too, because they get a workout, but it's not as demanding on the joints and they're getting the benefit with the bone density with it. So you may not realize that, but I would say that that would be one of the number one things to do for bone density. And yoga is fantastic for stress. And it seems like everybody has way too much stress in their life. Stress, and you get some strength with it from holding the poses, but in a gentle manner. So if you really don't like weight training, this might be a better option for you. And posture really helps with posture and balance. So it really covers some key things for our 50 and up crowd. And if you think, like, well, I've done yoga before and I was the worst one in the group, I'm not flexible, I can't do that, I'm going to hurt myself, we start with where you're at. Everything's modified and you won't feel like you're the outcast of the group. We limit our class sizes to, depending on the room that you're in, between 6 and 8 people, so that the instructor can go around and give individual cues and attention to each person. So you're not in a class of 20 or 30 people. We're not like a big corporate gym. We really have a mission of helping our 55 and up crowd, and that requires a little more one-on-one, a little more tailored expertise with you. So I won't go into anything more on the osteoporosis, osteopenia, but you really do need to figure out what is causing the bone loss and then address those issues. And you may need to speak to like a naturopath, like I said, or advocate for yourself a little bit. Definitely try, you know, the natural routes as much as you can. And I know that sometimes there's some situations where you can't. So that is going to be it for today, everybody, on my talk of anti-aging and secrets to staying young and kind of busting some myths about aging. Again, we are happy to help. If you heard this podcast and you are interested in coming for a free yoga session for osteoporosis, arthritis, or the power strengthening class, well, group training is what I should call it because it is not like a huge class, or you're interested in the weight loss wellness course, please reach out to us at Penrose Physical Therapy, 360-456-1444, penrosept.com in Lacey, Washington. You can find us there. We have lots of free resources on our website as well. So thanks for listening, and until next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the Stay Healthy Knoxville podcast, brought to you by Simply Physio. If your pain is preventing you from staying healthy and active, and you'd like to avoid surgery, pain medicine, or just want to get back to doing the things you love in and around Knoxville, we offer both a free ebook and free over-the-phone consultation to help you figure out the root cause of your pain and the next best steps for resolving it. Find our ebooks online at simplypt.com/health-tips. There you will find ebooks for topics such as neck and shoulder pain, lower back and hip pain, knee pain, and TMJ. These quick-to-read reports will provide you with expert tips, tricks, and exercises to help solve your pain from the comfort of your own home. Just visit simplypt.com/health-tips to download your ebook and have it delivered directly to your inbox. We also offer free, no-obligation phone consultations with a doctor of physical therapy to Knoxville area residents. Just call us at 865-351-0615 or visit us at simplypt.com and click the Talk to a PT button on the home page to schedule a call with us. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Stay Healthy Knoxville podcast.